On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Things I learned this weekend. John Tortorella is still nuts, and scoring in hockey is important. Good Sunday night or Monday morning to all of you. This is Unforced Errors, and this is becoming a little bit of a habit. Sometimes by circumstance, sometimes by timing, but it's become a pretty frequent occurrence that we sit down and we put one of these together on a Sunday evening when the smoke has cleared from another weekend in sports. A lot of you seem to... I've gotten some feedback that people seem to enjoy it on a Monday morning. Most of you don't get to it on a Sunday night. It's an early night. I get that. Many of you have lives, things that you like to go out and do on the weekend, and it leaves you a little tired on Sunday. Fortunately for you, I have no such life, and I am available to consume a weekend's worth of sports, and since I probably slept in on a Sunday morning, able to... put a late night Sunday show together for you. Really, we're going to focus on the World Cup of Hockey, as it has been the focus, for better or worse, for the last little while. But the tournament is now underway. Every team has played at least one game. And that's what we're going to cover here a little bit, first impressions this evening. Before we do that, I'd like to say one thing, sort of sports related, sort of political, and then we're going to move on from it. We talked a couple of weeks ago on this program about the police in San Francisco threatening to no longer work security for 49ers games as long as athletes were going to be allowed to take a knee during the anthem or sit during the anthem, whatever the case may be, in protest. They're no longer alone. There's been whispers from a few different cities, but Miami has now gone public that they'll do the same. Essentially, the police are saying, if you express your freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to protest, they won't protect you. Now, there are certain times when that's an appropriate stance. If your protests are violent or illegal, so be it. These are not. And regardless of what side of this stance you're on, whether it's complete blasphemy that anyone would consider staying seated during the national anthem, or whether you think that someone absolutely has the right to do it, you should be against this type of stance from a police department paid by your tax dollars. They don't get to make political decisions. They get to follow orders. They serve and protect. And these are fairly disgusting stances. And if you think this is not exacerbating the problem that these guys are protesting in the first place, you're kidding yourself. These are, for the most part, African Americans who don't feel like their country, their communities. They don't feel like they're equal there. They sometimes don't feel like they're safe there. They're not treated fairly. There's a bunch of different things that I don't want to pretend to be an expert on. But a big part of this has been police shooting young African-American men. In response, a young African-American man, more than one now, has said, "My peaceful protest, my quiet protest will be this during the national anthem." And in response to that, the police have now said, "Then fuck you. We won't protect you, we won't protect the stadium, and we won't protect the 80,000 people who choose to go to watch a game, many of whom have no political stance at all on this." There's a ton of sports fans that want nothing to do with this. I paid, whatever, $150 to go on a Sunday afternoon, get stupid drunk, watch a bunch of guys run over each other trying to chase a ball, and then go home and wonder on Monday morning why I did it. The American dream. Those people aren't going to be protected either, apparently. So it's ridiculous. Like I said, you're paid by taxpayers, and you're paid to protect the public. You have every right to think that player shouldn't have done it. You don't have the right to decide who you're going to protect and not when it comes to the public that are there to watch. And this is the police trying to flex muscle and force private business, basically, right? The National Football League and the teams within it to do what they want, to act the way they want them to act. Well, it's crap. So that was actually longer than I planned to speak on it, but it was only a couple of minutes. I feel pretty strongly about it, the police side of it, more than anything else. We'll move on. Before we get into the World Cup of Hockey, a quick look around the neighborhood. Many of you who are caught up at this point on our most recent programs have noticed that my partner in crime has returned to his seat across the table here in the Tall Can Audio Studios. Tall Can Sports number 82 came out this week. The World Cup of Hockey preview show. We broke down the teams, the pools, gave our predictions on how the things were all going to go. So far, well, I was going to say I look like I'm going to be more correct than Rob. That's not quite true. In Pool B, my pick of North America, following a win tonight over Finland, looking strong. I also stated that in Pool A, the United States would defeat Canada in the round robin portion, which is still possible, but they were thumped by Europe the other day and did not look strong doing it. So we'll get into some of that. But if you're into seeing guys being wrong, or just want to get a quick tune-up, you haven't quite gotten into the tournament yet, you can find the preview show. Like I said, it's Tall Can Sports 82 World Cup of Hockey preview. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Twitter page, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, all those places, Tall Can Sports 82. Also, Audio Whiplash number 51 this week. Also, myself and Rob on the mic talking about pornography. Because why the hell not? Pam Anderson wrote an op-ed with the help of a rabbi, I guess, which was, well, whatever. Basically said that if you watch porn, you are a bad man, a bad father, a bad husband, and a bad employee. We obviously had some opinions on that. That's Audio Whiplash 51, Torn on Porn. You can find that in all the same places. Myself and Rob had a pretty fun conversation when it came to that topic. Because we used to love Pam. I don't know why she's got to be like this now. Anyway, the World Cup of Hockey. It's been four games so far, two Saturday, two Sunday. The four losing teams were either shut out or didn't score until the last 5 minutes of the game. You know what I think? I'm going out on a limb here. Scoring early in the World Cup, very important. Or for those of you who got shut out, scoring in general, equally important. Actually, much more important than the timing. You do need to score something if you're going to win. Looking at you, America. You two kind of checks, but you got steamrolled a little bit. Let's go through it. Yesterday, Saturday, was Pool A. United States and Europe, I got to be honest, I didn't see most of the game. I watched a couple of recaps, read a couple of things on it. The Americans, by all accounts, had no legs and lost to what most people would have suggested was probably going to be the weakest team in the tournament. The Czechs are in that conversation. And I think less so now, but North America, the young kids, were in that conversation only because people didn't really know what to expect in that. We'll get to them. The Europeans scored right away. For their first shot on Jonathan Quick was a goal. And now you've got a little confidence. Maybe you've rattled your opponent, but you're feeling pretty good. And you can cruise a little bit, and you can defend a little bit. They're an older team, the Europeans, I mean. And you can kind of hold them down now. You're in control. So 3-0, final. The Europeans take it. Jaro Halak, pretty good in goal. I think everyone would have suggested going into this that the Americans would be right there as one of the teams with the best goaltending, with Canada and Finland, probably. And I guess you could look at Sweden, but I mean in terms of depth, because... funny this comes up, I was going to say if Lundqvist gets hurt, Sweden has nothing in terms of goaltending depth. In terms of one guy, they might have the best guy. But in terms of depth, not so much. So to see Quick maybe struggle a little bit, and Halak post the shutout as perhaps the team with the weakest goaltending, was really interesting. And it puts a lot of pressure on the American team now. If they lose to Canada on Tuesday in their next game, they're 0-2 with one game left, and they need a ton of help to get in, if they even still can. So Canada's going to be 1-0 going into that game, and we'll get to them here in a second. The Americans are going to be desperate. That might be a little scary for Canada. Not for the players, for the guys watching the team, for the guys like you and me watching the game. They're going to be motivated. They got everything to play for, and Canada's kind of, you know, they're all right now. So. But let's take a minute and talk about the Team Canada game. They win 6-0 over the Czech Republic. For the first 10 minutes, the Czechs looked game. They were going back and forth with Team Canada. It was really entertaining. And as Canada started to pull away, I believe it was 3-0 by the end of the first, it sucked all the energy out of the Czechs. And it was one of those things where in the third period, everyone was just cruising around waiting for it to be over. But in terms of things of note, Carey Price not really tested terribly, but played well. Well enough to get the shutout anyway. If you listened to the World Cup preview show, and even shows it before that, you'll know that I was a little nervous about Price. And I can't say that I'm over it. I'm more comfortable now than I was before, but they were playing the Czechs, so not a huge test there. But he looked good enough to get that done. Drew Doughty was fantastic. Drove the team from the back end. A couple of great breakout passes. And some guys that they needed to come along who maybe were just okay in the pre-tournament, Brent Burns. Man, he was great. He was physical. He was stepping up, scored a goal. I don't remember if they let him keep that goal. I remember there was some talk that it might have been tipped. But he was fantastic. Petrangelo, very good. Tavares, an underrated game, played really well. But the line, that top line of Crosby with Marchand and Bergeron was great. They just had it going. And they look like they've got this chemistry going. And it's interesting because people talk about Bergeron and Crosby having all this chemistry. Well, they play once every 4 years together. In this case, 2 years. They played well together in Vancouver. They played well together in Sochi in 2014. And now there's this. So maybe their styles mesh, but I don't know if they have chemistry. Right? Chemistry takes, but that's perhaps semantics. Bergeron and Marchand play together in Boston. They have chemistry, and putting Crosby in the middle of that seems to work pretty well. Because if you recall, in Vancouver, Bergeron was not the guy they wanted to be Crosby's line mate. They tried it a couple of times. He was there to be the 13th forward. He was going to take faceoffs and he was going to kill penalties, and he's fantastic at both. And they put him up there, and then they wanted to try something else because they didn't like it, and then they put him back up there. And they, at the end of it, I think they ended up settling on Iginla and Staal. And it was fine, but it wasn't as good as it was with Bergeron. And part of that is Bergeron's just not a pure finisher. He's a fantastic two-way forward, but he is not a sniper, if you want to call it that. He's good for 30 goals, right? But you're looking for Stamkos to click with him, right? You're looking for one of those big guns to ride shotgun with him. And this year they just didn't bother. They went to Bergeron and Kunitz with him in Sochi, and that was okay. And this year they went right to Bergeron again and said, this is what we're doing. And so it's interesting. That line has been Canada's best line by far, which is a bit of a relief because in the last two Olympics, Crosby took a while to get going. I would never say he played poorly, but he scored big goals in the gold medal games and not much beforehand. So, I mean, if you're going to show up for only one game, that's the right one. But, you know. But as you look around the tournament, and to go back to Team USA and John Tortorella being just a complete relic and douchebag, Crosby, Bergeron, Marchand. Marchand, by the way, almost 40 goals last year. I think it was 38, 37 he had. He was not on my list of guys I wanted to necessarily see make this team, but he's been really good. So that's been a great line. How about the Sedins and Eriksson for Sweden? That's a great line. Make sure your best guys, you know, have people they can work with. How about Ovechkin, Kucherov, and Datsyuk? They didn't really get it going too well today, but that's a great line. Wonder what the Americans are doing. Oh, who's Patrick Kane playing with? Their best player. Who's Patrick Kane with? Derek Stepan and Justin Abdelkader.
What the fuck?
I mean, seriously. And no doubt they have this same bully mentality that they're thinking, well, Abdelkader's going to, he's quick and he'll get in the corners and beat somebody up and get the puck to Kane. Well, in theory, but that's the guy that, because Kane is also a fantastic passer. And for a long time when he came into the league, he was thought of, I mean, everybody knew he could score. But a lot of people thought he was a better playmaker than a scorer. And it's only been in the last couple of years where he really took off as like the preeminent goal scorer too. And so you want him to set up Derek Stepan and Justin Abdelkader. Yeah, way to go, Torts. You know what's up. Blech. Anyway. So, 6-0 Canada over the Czechs. Canada in that pool, along with Europe, 1-0. Czechs and Americans, 0-1. Sunday, saw the Swedes and the Russians. Got a good look at most of that game. The Russians looked, honestly, like what the Russians tend to look like. And I meant to ask Rob this question the other day when we were talking about this tournament on Tall Can Sports. Number 82, if you'd forgotten. How long do we have to keep pretending that the Russians are a top team? We look at their players. Tons of talent. And we think back to 72 and 76 and 87. These big, scary Russian teams. They haven't won a best-on-best tournament since 81. Now, the Russians will tell you they win world championships all the time, which is fine. But everyone else, including them, to be fair, a lot of the time, a ton of top guys are still playing NHL hockey in the playoffs. So that is not a best-on-best. You can call it a world championship all you want, and it's usually pretty good hockey, and I don't mind watching it. But you have to watch it with the understanding that there are better players available to every team who are not there. So best on best. When was the last time Russia was even a factor? Well, they haven't won anything since 81. 98, silver medal against the Czechs. They were pretty good. And really, probably better than the Czechs. But Hasek did what Hasek did, same thing he did to us, and I believe they won that game 1-0. 02? No, they weren't really a factor. 06? Sweden and Finland in the final. Russians, not really a factor. 2010? Well, you remember, Canada smashed them in the quarterfinals. Not really a factor. And 2014, on home soil, a disaster. Not even in the semis. How long do we have to keep saying they're a hockey power? You know what they are? They are a hockey power the same way, at this point, you know, if you take away the history, the same way Canada is a baseball power. We produce some good players. But when we put it all together and have to go play the Americans or the Japanese or some of the Caribbean nations, we're not up to snuff. We have no depth and we get exposed. So, that's to me the comparison. The Russians bring over a couple of lines with big shooters and a terrible blue line full of guys you've never heard of, same with their third and fourth line, and that's the way it is when we get our guys to a World Baseball Classic. You get Joey Votto and you get Russ Martin and one or two guys, and then you got Stubby Clapp and Peter Orr, and we're not up to snuff. So, at this point, that's what the Russians seem to be. Could they step up tomorrow and bite someone on the ass? Yeah, absolutely they could. They're good enough. But they don't appear to be a threat. And in that preview show, neither Rob nor myself picked the Russians to make the semis. So the Swedes exposed them. Lundqvist didn't play, which was scary to a lot of people, especially, you know, the Swedes. They were going with Jakob Markstrom, and he played fine. But you're going against that Russian firepower up front with not the goalie you were hoping to have. But they get a win. Ovechkin scores a goal that gets called back. He was pretty pissed off about it. It might have changed the game. But the Swedes do what the Swedes do, right? And they played a good systematic game. The blue line looked better than it did in the pre-tournament, where despite having all these great names, it looked fairly pedestrian. The Sedins and Eriksson looked like they had some good chemistry going. Nick Backstrom, I thought, had a pretty solid game. So they're a team to watch, and I still think they'll finish first in that pool. On Sunday night, and I got some stuff to say about outside of the game about this, but North America 4-1 over the Finns. It wasn't close at any point. Well, it was kind of close at 0-0 in the opening faceoff. But the Finns didn't look nearly as organized as they normally do. Now, they're a younger team than they have been in the past. Remember, they're the bronze medalists from Sochi. 2010, they were in the bronze medal game as well, I believe. Yeah. 2006, silver medalists. So, I mean, they've been around. But they turned over a lot here. Saku Koivu is gone. Timu Salani is gone. Kimmo Tiiminen is gone. You know, they're pretty young. Now, to me, and it's easy in hindsight, but I was thinking at the end of the first period when it was 1-0 North America and should have been 3-0 or could have been 3-0, that needed to be it for Pekka Rinne. There was one that had gotten behind him and went to video review, and that only didn't go in because a defenseman made a last-second great play to pull it out for him. I think it was Eric Halla. I could be wrong. The goal that the North American scored was actually pretty nice. Set up by Austin Matthews, of course, to Jack Eichel. Kind of upsetting that at some point they'll have to play for the real Team USA and I'll have to cheer against them. But then there was another shot late in the period. Very late in the period, only a couple of seconds left, that they just kind of fired in, and Rinne thought he had it, but it was sitting there beside him. And, you know, he just never looked great. He was kind of fighting it a little bit, and I was sure coming out for the second period. Well, I guess I can't say I was sure, but I would have went to Rask in the second period. You're not asking him to come in the middle of a period, so it's a little bit easier, right? But that I think that would have been... Now, of course, in the second period, the North Americans put up 3 in, like, 4 minutes, and it was over. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Rinne was terrible. He just didn't look like himself. He didn't look like he had it. So, the Finns score... Valtteri Filppula with about 5 minutes left, as I mentioned. It was inconsequential. It didn't matter. The North Americans had run roughshod. They were faster. They were more talented. And the defense didn't really get exposed in this one, which was good. Matt Murray was steady in goal. Not spectacular, but he was steady, and that's all he had to be. I don't expect goaltending to really be a problem for them. I do believe it's amongst the weakest in the tournament, but I don't expect it to be a problem. I want to talk about the way this thing's being broadcast just a little bit, just for a minute here, because you're seeing these Rogers employees, right? The guys on Sportsnet talking about the tournament. You can see them, and they're very crafty. I like it. Actually, it drives me fucking crazy. Very subtly taking the NHL's side, even if they didn't before. And they're trying to confuse the issue. When we talk about North America and Europe, we both saw all three of them at different points, Friedman, Rudy, and Kypreos. And this is tough for me because I really like Elliot Friedman. I think he's got a ton of integrity. The other two are whatever they are. Kind of saying, you know, a lot of people before this thing started kind of saw maybe North America and Europe as maybe a bit of a gimmick. And now we're seeing how good they are. They both got a win and they... Okay, that's not what a gimmick means. A gimmick doesn't mean they're bad. A gimmick means this is a World Cup, an international tournament. At least that's what you're selling it as. And you've just made up 2 all-star teams to insert into it. That's a gimmick. Similar to making everyone wear a sombrero as they played the game would be a gimmick. You know what's a gimmick? Here's the best example of this. Because they're trying to say, see, they're not a gimmick. They're good. That's not what it means. If they had decided that every NHL team had to give up their best player and we would build a team with that to enter this tournament, and they don't get to go to their nations. So Crosby is going to play with Ovechkin and Price and Carlson and... You know, we're going to build a team with every single franchise's best player. Makes me a little sad. I don't know who that would be for Toronto. I guess James Van Riemsdyk, but you know that guy's riding the bench on this team. So you've got literally the franchise player from every single team. And you entered into the tournament. And they smash everybody, because why wouldn't they? It's 30 fantastic players. That's still a gimmick. Your gimmick could win this whole thing. For all we know, I don't expect it, but we could see North America versus Europe in the final. It wouldn't mean it wasn't a gimmick. It would mean that they were good teams. But NHL East versus NHL West every January at the All-Star Game is full of good players and is good teams, and it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick we're okay with, that we've come to because you call it your All-Star Game, and we all know what we're getting when we sign up. But you can't broadcast these commercials trying to pull on people's national pride and say, "Ooh, who owns hockey?" Stupid shit like that, and then throw in teams that aren't that. That's a gimmick. That's you trying to jam more NHL players in. That's you trying to make it more competitive. And neither of those things are a bad thing. It's been good hockey. Team North America is fun to watch. I don't really give a shit that it went from 130 to 150 NHL players in the thing. But it's okay. But don't try to sell it as something else. When Canada plays North America in a semifinal or a final, or USA plays them, or Europe plays... That's not really the same. We'll stick to North America here. Where's my national pride supposed to be? Am I supposed to cheer on Team Canada because I'm Canadian? That's probably what I want to do and probably what I would do. But should I cheer on North America? They're the underdogs. And they've got Canadian kids. Half the team is Canadian. I should cheer them against the bully, right? The big, scary Team Canada. This is fine. It's going to be good hockey. We're going to enjoy it. I have enjoyed it. But to sit and say, look, these teams are winning, so they're not gimmicks, means you don't understand what a gimmick is. Means you have missed the point completely, or you understand that you have a 12-year relationship with the NHL and you work for Rogers, and so maybe you need to just subtly try and slide it in and hope no one notices. See, the league was right to do it this way. It's okay. They're not gimmicks because they're winning, right? And it's very subtle. You just kind of slide it in there. You don't actually come out and say it. You say things like, I think a lot of people before this started were thinking that it's, but look how good, and you don't even finish the sentence. Two or three times that happened. It would be exactly what I just did. You know, I think a lot of people coming into this tournament wondered about this European team and this North American team and whether they'd be able to you know, but you look at them out there and you go, finish that thought. Why won't you say it? No, that's not how it works. Sportsnet is sucking at the NHL teat, and vice versa, quite frankly, because the NHL needs that $5 billion coming out of Ted Rogers' pockets. I know Ted's gone. I assume he left some pants somewhere that probably had $5 billion in the pocket. Imagine being that guy. You know how awesome it is every winter you go and grab that winter jacket that you haven't worn since, you know, for 8-10 months, and you go, hey, there's a 20 in here. If you were Ted Rogers' grandkids, great-grandkids, would you not be going through his closet? That's a little morbid. Sorry, Ted. But this is an NHL thing being run by an NHL, you know, head office, being broadcast by the NHL's chief broadcast partner. And if you're looking for impartiality, you're not looking in the right place. That's not to say it won't be great hockey. For the most part, it already has been, and it will continue to be. But just watch for it as you're, as this goes, because no doubt this won't be the last time we hear it, especially if these two teams continue to do well. They're going to want to tell you that it's not a gimmick because they're being successful. And those two things are not the same thing. That's Unforced Errors for another Sunday night. Maybe you'll get to this on your drive to work. Whatever. Maybe you listen to it while you're having your morning dump. Whatever you need to do, I'm glad to keep you company. Get through this. Don't forget to wash your hands, though, okay? That's Unforced Errors. See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.